Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. We're live on the Infinity Sports Network. Grab a Sirius XM channel 375. Also available on the Odyssey app. That's free to download and free to listen to anytime of your desire. We've got more series tonight that could tell us who is going to be playing for championships. In the NHL, we know the Florida Panthers have advanced to the Stanley Cup. They will take on the winner of the Edmonton and Dallas series. Edmonton's up 3-1 in the series, 4-2 after two in favor of the Oilers. So we may be on our way to a rematch there. We're going to get a fresh champion in the NBA, if not a first-time champion, with the Thunder. We're not counting the Sonics or the Knicks, haven't won in 40, 50 years, or the Pacers, who haven't won at all. But we got to figure out who the Thunder are going to play, first of all. And we may see at least a game six to decide that. After three quarters of play, just ended the third quarter, Knicks have a 90-73 point lead. They've been playing well. They've been in control of this game. They've got a 17-point lead at home. What could go wrong? Oh, wait. We remember what could go wrong. We saw that in game one when they had this, and then they became the, like, 981 out of one times, with the Pacers being the one time that they came back with that deficit, with that much time, all the different parameters, all the different barometers, all the different metrics, all the different everything. Pacers found a way to come back. So, Knicks fans, typically, when you're up 17 points going into a fourth quarter, you feel good. The Knicks have authored some comebacks in these playoffs. They have been the victim of some comebacks in these playoffs. So, we'll see what happens here in this fourth quarter. I'm sure nobody is too comfortable at this point right now. The winner, as mentioned, will then play the Thunder in the NBA Finals. And the Thunder getting there by pure dominance over Minnesota and really throughout these playoffs. Now, I think a lot's being said about, hey, there was a team that took them seven. Just how good is Nikola Jokic to have taken this team to seven? Because they made quick work of the Grizzlies and they made quick work of the Timberwolves. The Denver Nuggets, you know, maybe a different year. Maybe if they had a little more stamina, they had some guys that were kind of fading away with injuries. Aaron Gordon, they had Michael Porter Jr., who wasn't playing up to the level that he did, at least in their championship run. Russell Westbrook was good 3 minutes, bad 3 minutes, on and off, kind of neutralized itself. Jokic was doing things we've never seen before again, but it wasn't enough. So a testament to the Nuggets. I mean, it's a consolation prize nobody wants, but I think it just shows us that maybe was the true battle for who was going to get out of the West. But the Thunder, not a surprise. 68 wins in the regular season, the best first quarter team in the regular season, the best second quarter team in the regular season, the best third quarter team in the regular season. Fourth quarter's a little iffy, okay? They were only the fourth best among all squads, even factoring in the many blowouts that they had. But the Thunder have been great, and they made relatively quick work out of a Minnesota team that has now gone to the conference finals 2 years in a row and come up short in five. There's a lot of heartbreak for Minnesota fans. If you're a Minnesota sports fan, it hasn't been a good three decades. And you get these little runs here where you think maybe this is the team, maybe this is what will pierce through. Last year, I think, after your second-round win, also in seven against the Nuggets, I was fully on board that train. I thought the Timberwolves were headed to the finals and going to win it. And then the Mavericks, five games, gentlemen sweep. This year, they got through the Lakers, which I think was their best series, obviously, very telling. They got past the Warriors, but again, we're without Steph here, so that does factor in. And then they play the Thunder, and the Thunder, you know, dominated them. Now, Minnesota did have their comeback win in Game 3, won by a lot of points. Okay, little Game 5 money action, little gentleman sweep situation. That's all well and good. But the Thunder, I think that the way this team was constructed, perhaps this is a team, sometimes teams are just built to get to the championship round of a conference and then crash out. You know, some teams are built to win titles. Some teams are built to be bad. Some teams are built to be the eighth seed. Mediocrity. Bites of the apple. Let's try to get in and see if we can catch some magic. And some teams are good. Some teams are built really well. But they're missing a piece or two to elevate them over that hump. Mike Conley has been playing basketball for a very long time. He's been in the NBA now for, I believe he's had 18 seasons. His rookie year, 2007-2008. Spent a long time with Memphis, a handful of years with Utah, got traded to the Timberwolves, and has been a part of this Timberwolves team with these guys. There's no guarantee that Mike Conley's going to be back next year. I believe he's on an expiring deal. The Timberwolves have to make some decisions about what they want to do. They want to keep Naz Reid. They want to keep Alexander Walker. Are they going to be able to do that? Is Julius Randle going to opt into a player option? Do they want to extend him? Like, what do they want to do? And where's Mike Conley's role going to be in this? Does Minnesota think that, no, we're not just built to get to the conference finals and lose. We're built to succeed. We have something here. We need to keep this chemistry together, maybe add a piece or two, finagle some things around the cap, and then go. But you can't be sure you'll be back. I think there's a big lesson that needs to be learned by a lot of us, is you're not sure that you're back. Anytime I've had a team that, you know, you get to the conference finals or the championship series and you think that just because you lost that means next year you'll advance. It's not always a forward momentum thing. It's not always forward progress. And after the game, Mike Conley, who again has been playing a long time, has not won an NBA Finals. You know, that kind of thing, when you're 37 years old, it weighed on him last night.
It hurts. You know, it hurts more than, I don't think anybody can really feel what I feel. I can't ask them to feel that because they haven't been around as long and seen how, you know, few opportunities you get at this, you know, this chance. So for me, it's gonna take a while just to kind of dissect what, you know, what we just did and weren't able to accomplish. But, you know, at the same time, proud of my team, proud of these guys, man. They really fought, not just for me, but, you know, just for the whole team. They did a great job of bonding together in the right time just to give ourselves this chance. So I appreciate them more than anything. And, you know, we're going to try this thing again next year.
When you get to this point and you lose, it's a tough road to try to get back to that point again. You know, it's more of a grind. If you're a team that has a great run and you're winning games you didn't think you would, and you're battling hard, and, you know, you're young, you're like, this is easy, this is different. But when you're older, you know just how hard it is just to get back there. Tom Thibodeau, who's coaching tonight, he's in the conference finals for the first time since 2011. And Tom Thibodeau's a well-respected coach. He's been a few places, but he hasn't even been to this point in 15 years. That's 15 off seasons, 15 regular seasons, a handful of playoff series, new jobs, firings, hirings, new players come in, new players come out, just to get back here, which is really, you're not anywhere yet. You're still games away from the finals, and right now you're trailing 3-1 in the series, and he worked for a decade and a half, just to get back to be down 3-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. You learn that as you get older, how tough it is. On the opposite side, if you're Anthony Edwards, he's a younger guy, all right? He's 23 years old, and now he's been to the Western Conference Finals two straight years. He has played in the NBA for five, and in two of them, he's been to the Western Conference Finals. So I don't know that he expects to be here all the time. I mean, there's been years, the first year he didn't make the playoffs, but then he's made the playoffs for his 5 years. But I don't know that he expects this kind of success or thinks that he'll just be back. But after his comments last night, maybe he does.
It's exciting. I don't know why people would think it would hurt. I mean, it's exciting for me. I'm 23. I get to do it a whole bunch of times. I'm hurt more so for myself, for Mike. I came up short for Mike. Like I said, we tried last year. We couldn't get it. We tried again this year. We're going to try again next year. But hurting is a terrible word to use. I'm good.
I don't want to take 20 seconds of what he said and write a thesis paper on it. You know, I don't want to do that. You're answering questions in the moment. You sit down at the table for 8 minutes. You get fired with questions. You just lost. You got to talk right away because forget you processing your feelings. Us in the media, we got them deadlines to hit. It's more important. I hope you know. And so I don't know, you know, when he answers that question right away, you know, it's exciting. I think he understands. He brought up Mike Conley by name. So he understands, like, yeah, it's tough if you get here and you're not getting that ticket to the finals as we have been playing for. But he's also taking a longer-term approach. You almost, in some way, can commend him for seeing the forest from the trees. Like, you know this is just a part of your journey. But on the other hand, I do want to stress that just because you've been there twice now in a row, there's no guarantee that he will ever be back there again. There's no guarantee he will ever be back there again. He's been there twice. Joel Embiid's never been to the Eastern Conference Finals. I found a way to slip that in. Dan Marino makes a Super Bowl second year, was it? Thinks, okay, I lost this one. I'll be back. He wasn't. There's just no guarantee that you're ever going to be back there again. So I think as a fan, you need to realize that. As a coach, you need to realize that. And as a player, you need to realize that. I get if you're 23, you think the world is in front of you, but it's also very hard to get to this spot. Okay, it's very hard to get where you just got. So I think there were some that didn't like what he was saying, didn't like what he had to say. I understand it, I guess, from both sides. And while I'm going to give him some credit for thinking, okay, I can get right back here, there's also no guarantee that you will. Now, it's interesting that he is the one saying this, and he has been somebody that's been covered in, I think, a weird way in these playoffs. I think a lot of the media, and I'm thinking right back to what I see on television, there's really this agenda to proclaim him as the face of the league. Like, for some reason, face of the league is more important. In the NBA regular season, the seeding's never important. It's who's going to be the MVP. And now we're in the playoffs. Playoffs secondary to which of these guys is going to step up and be the face of the league. And looking around, it seems like we've decided on Anthony Edwards. Why did we do that? I don't know. He's somewhat of a legend killer himself. You know, in these playoffs, he's taken out some guys, but he's also lost 2 conference finals in a row. He's young. He's been on Team USA. He's very energetic. He's got a great nickname, Ant-Man. That's a superhero, sure. But I don't know that we need to do that again. He's 23. Now, I've seen a lot of weird arguments about this. Like, he can be face of the league because he's American, but he can't be face of the league because he's not, you know, married with children. It's like, where's the basketball component of that? Like, the face of the league is going to reveal itself on the basketball court. And even a guy like Edwards, you know, if we're trying to say he's going to be this generation's Jordan, which some people have said, one of the key things in Michael Jordan's story is how many times it took him before he got out of the Eastern Conference and the Eastern Conference Finals and then finally got elevated to the NBA Finals and made 6 of them and won every time. So if you look at it that way from Edwards' standpoint, yeah, you know, I'm just writing the beginning of my story here. And maybe there's some people that connect with me and they're at the end of their story, and it sucks that we can't intersect, but I'm excited for what's to come. I don't think that this is it for me. And I think there's a balance to find between I'm excited for that and I understand it is hard to get back here. If anything, his comments made it seem like, oh, no, he's the Western Conference Finals. It's old hat. Or we know how to get here. We can do it again. So I don't read too much into it. I think you can't, again, do a thesis on just a quick answer. But I'm more of the mind that Edwards is coming from a place of I'm excited for the rest of my future. And he's asking why would people think I would be upset? But he understands, you know, where Conley is coming from. So just wanted to give my 2 cents. Well, if I did a segment on it, 15 minutes, probably my 30 cents on how those comments were treated today. I mentioned the pain of Minnesota sports fans. You know, they have it rough. They have it rough. And one thing that I've wondered as a fan is how bad, because you all got your own heartaches and pain and agony. And we could say it's just sports, but I mean, if you think off the top of your head, the 20 worst days of your life, how many of those are playoff losses? I mean, you put a lot into them. So at what point can you be somebody who is not a fan of certain teams and even maybe rival fans with some of their teams? But even you have to look over the fence and say, oh, man, I feel for them. I think Minnesota has taken itself to that level. We'll dig into some of the numbers coming up. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Chris Finch, after the Minnesota Timberwolves lost Game 5, which means they lost the series, which means they lost another chance to get a championship for Minnesota, which has been elusive for the state and their fans since their last one, courtesy of the Minnesota Twins back in 1991 when they won the World Series in a best of seven over the Atlanta Braves. It was their second World Series in 5 years, and things were looking good for not just the Twins, but the state of Minnesota. Great to have a champion. Great to have a parade lining up the streets of the Twin Cities. And when you see championships, now when you make the semifinal or conference final round and you lose, you think we'll get back here, and yeah, maybe not. But when you win the title, you think, oh, this is just one of many to come. And we will be running up a dynasty. I mean, nobody wins anymore and doesn't think about the next one. I mean, the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, and they were thinking already about the next two. Minnesota, the Twins, they've won just two playoff series since that World Series win in 1991. And to make matters worse, they've found a real big enemy along the way in the New York Yankees. 2002, they made the playoffs, beat the A's, lost to the Angels. 2003, they lost to the Yankees. 2004, lost to the Yankees. 2006, lost to the A's. 2009, the Yankees. 2010, the Yankees. 2019, the Yankees. They had three different... Oh, and the wild card in 2017, the Yankees. So they made an ALCS, made a championship round in 2002, but then they had the stretch in the 10s where four different playoff series with an 0-10 record against the Yankees. Then lost in 2020 to the Astros. Finally won a series a couple years ago against the Blue Jays, but then lost to the Astros. So they have not been but to one championship series since, but that adds to the number that I'm going to present to you in just a moment. The Minnesota Wild, in their third year in Minnesota, already got to the conference finals. All right, maybe they'll be the team. Hey, we weren't counting on it. We were thinking of somebody else. Maybe you. Now, lost in the conference finals in 2002, 2003. Have made the playoffs several times since with a lot of exits either in the qualifying round or the first round, qualifying being the COVID year, or the first round, which happens quite a bit. This year they lost in the first round to the Golden Knights. there are the Minnesota Vikings, which this is almost, I mean, you don't tell people don't listen, but if you're a Minnesota person right now, I probably should have given you the warning. The Vikings might be the one that hurts the most. Ever since that 1991 World Series that the Twins had, the Vikings made the playoffs pretty consistently in the 90s, even getting to the conference championship in 1998. They were 15-1. If they didn't win the Super Bowl that year, they would become the first 15-1 team to never win the Super Bowl. Well, they did not make the Super Bowl because, and it's not entirely his fault, but it's how the game is remembered, Gary Anderson missed a 39-yard field goal. Now, that's poignant to say because that was his first kick that he missed in 2 years. And the Vikings were up at the time, but couldn't take a 10-point lead, but it just deflated everybody as if, wow, what did we just see? Maybe it's not our year. It took a aura of invincibility out of a team that thought they might have been invincible. They had some great years, Dante Culpepper and Randy Moss. No championships to come of it. They wouldn't make a conference championship again until, I believe, they had one in 2000. Okay, you're going to go to New York, play the Giants. Probably not the favorite here. Well, you didn't even score a point. 41-0, the Giants beat you in 2000. Well, we got to get back to the conference championship. How are we going to do that? Well, let's take Brett Favre. He'll get us there. Brett Favre will get us there. We're playing along. We're doing well against the Saints. Well, all we got to do is kick a field goal, and he throws an interception across the field, across his body, for really no reason other than he's Brett Favre. So that's a bummer. You get back to a conference championship in 2017, lose at Philly 38-7. You've been there. You're getting there. Your teams are good enough to get you to that point, but it's just not enough to get you over the hump. And then there's the Minnesota Timberwolves, who had their run with Kevin Garnett, losing that conference finals to the Lakers. I'm sure that was totally on the up and up back in 03-04. Had so many years of misery where between 2005 and 2017, they didn't make the playoffs once. If you extend that to 2021, they only made the playoffs once, and that was in 2018, lost to the Rockets in the first round in five. Now, this is a new era of Timberwolves basketball and a better era of Timberwolves basketball, but it's two straight years now. You've been to the conference finals, and you lost in five. So outside of that, we'll get rid of the qualifying round because that was a weird year. Minnesota teams, and probably get rid of the wild card too. So the stat is in the final four rounds of the playoffs, so title game, conference game, semifinals, and then a divisional round or a wild card round, the Vikings are 0-4, the Wild are 0-4, the Twins are 1-4, the Wolves are 4-12. Total, 5-24 is the record with zero championship appearances. Minnesota, after winning the World Series, is now 0-10 in conference finals. So every little team has gotten there, but they haven't been able to make it happen. And that stacks up as you, as a fan. And I do wonder, like, and I'll bring up my fandom here, if I may, because I am in Wisconsin, a rival to many of these Minnesota teams. And there's been times where I, like, you know, Blair Walsh misses a kick from 20 yards away in the cold, and it's almost like these fans are my mortal enemy, but you kind of feel some sympathy and at least some empathy. Maybe I don't feel bad for you, but I feel bad that you feel bad. You know, you're my enemy, so you know I'm not gonna wallow with you, but I don't wish this upon my worst enemy, you could say. And some of the championship losses, championship round losses that I've felt as a fan, you know, I don't know that I wish that upon my worst enemy, because it is no good when you're so close, especially when you think you have it. And so in Wisconsin, there was a run between the Packers and the Brewers, and even the Wisconsin Badgers made a championship game and lost to Duke. But there was a run where they were making title games and just losing in these championship games all the time and not getting back. They did win the Super Bowl in 2010, the Packers, and then after that it kind of became comical, how close the Packers would get or how many NFC championships they would get into, or Wisconsin would get so close. And then the Brewers had some runs. And then the Bucs against the Raptors. And why I bring this all up is the four teams that I just went through are separate. You know, the Twins are not the Timberwolves, are not the Wild, are not the Vikings. They're separate. But those fans have dens in their house with all four logos on them. They may have a tattoo on their leg of a combination of the logos in some way. They have jerseys. They've got tickets. They've got anything you can imagine. Typically, someone in Minnesota is going to be a fan of all those four teams. So when the Timberwolves don't advance, it's not just one season of the Timberwolves not advancing. It's not even just two straight seasons of the Timberwolves not advancing. It's all of this lined up on top of each other. It's dads trying to tell their kids about the 91 World Series. It's kids trying to wonder, like, when am I going to see some? I'm 25. I'm 30 years old here. When am I going to get even a game? And I know that at least the Vikings made Super Bowls, but they lost all those too back in the 70s. So it starts to stack up upon each other. And I'm telling you, why I'm bringing this up is I'm telling you that the fan base feels it when they go to these games. When you go, when you're a Timberwolves fan at one of these games, you get tense, not for your team, but everything is weighing on you. So it's a unique thing when you have, because some places, you know, with this two city teams or the two team cities, or you know, some teams with like just the Spurs, and then people like the Cowboys or Rockets, or, you know, not the Rockets, but the Texans, whoever. Minnesota, you're one for one, you're one for all. And so it does stack up upon you. And I think unfairly or fairly, whether you like it or not, for all of these teams, I think the Vikings last year felt the pressure of everybody. I think, you know, the Twins, when they get in, will fear the pressure. The Wild, again, will fear the pressure. The Timberwolves. Where the commonality comes from, what I'm saying is, yeah, the Timberwolves didn't lose the series because the Vikings didn't win in 2008. Nah, I know that. But when the fans get into these arenas, get into these environments, they're already coming in tense. And you need a team to help break through to try to win you a championship, or at least get you to one, as you haven't been in that final round since 1991. So there is maybe not full-on sympathy, because it, you know, could happen to anybody, but there is empathy. I would not want to go through what Minnesota has gone through. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. A couple of games in action now. Will we get any tickets punched? Maybe, and maybe not. Here with an update is Gordon Damer.
The biggest moments in the games.
Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable!
The biggest voices in sports.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
The heartbreak.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs!
The celebrations.
And it takes the knee of the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions. And Tom Coughlin and the Big Blue erase all of their doubters. They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show. It is Thursday, May 29th, 2025. Before we get into the audio of the day, just a recap for here. The nine Knicks have staved off elimination. They live to fight another game. Final score, 111 for the Knicks, 94 for the Pacers. Indiana still leads the series 3-2, and we are headed back to Indiana. Pacers only need one shot. Obviously, Knicks need to win two more. So there's your update in that game. Let's go to last night, where one team did punch their ticket into the NBA Finals. The Oklahoma City Thunder have advanced to the NBA Finals. They will represent the West after they smoked the Timberwolves 124-94 in Game 5. Here's Thunder head coach Mark Daigneault says the OKC community has been tremendous.
when you've got a young team, these are players that are still trying to find their footing in professional basketball, and to exist in a place both in the arena and in the community where everybody kind of has your back through the ups and downs is helpful. You know, it's helped our players grow. I really believe that.
It's a young team they got in Oklahoma City. 24.2 years old is the average age of the team. They are headed to the finals this year, but then in years to come, you've got two first-round picks in this upcoming draft and a second. The next year, you've got two first-round picks and a second. The year after that, you got two first-round picks and 2 seconds. The year after that, a first and 3 seconds. The year after that, a first and 5 seconds. That's 20 picks, at least, excluding any protected picks they may get their way over the next 5 drafts. So this may just not be a flash in the pan. This may be the start of a long, long, long Thunder era. But we will see. They got to win one first, but they'll have that opportunity coming up starting next Thursday. We don't get the NBA until next Thursday evening.
All right, speaking of winning, I'm going to take a small tangent here. Anyone who says you can't do Jordans with a suit, take a look at Erdene Johnson in the post game of this show. He's got some fresh 11s on. I can't tell if those are the Concords or a pair of Gratitudes, but Erdene Johnson looking fresh. I wouldn't do the bow tie, but...
Very little of what you just said, I understood.
That's because you're not cool. Let's go back to the Minnesota Timberwolves, which you spoke about at length this hour. They got to do some soul searching for the second straight season. They have been knocked out of the Western Conference Finals. So they're home, or Cancun, or wherever it is that T-Wolves go to lick their wounds. So what do they do? Here's head coach Chris Finch says, hey, maybe I can make things easier for my star player.
I thought for a lot of the series, he did make the right play. And, you know, we preach that to him all the time. Yeah, we need him to be aggressive for sure. He's got to find some easier buckets. I got to help him do that. I think we were never able to establish something consistent with him. And that's on us as much as anybody.
One of the things with Edwards in the playoffs is his shots per game were decreasing every round. Some 22 shots, 20 shots in the second round, down to about 17, 18. And he's openly said it after games, like, I only shot 13 times. I need to shoot the ball more. He shot 18 times in game 5. It obviously wasn't enough. He also wasn't great from 3 in this series when they needed him to be a little bit better, shooting just 28%, including 1 of 7 the last 2 games. So got to get the ball in his hands, got to shoot the ball. And you got to find more opportunities to do that. Again, with Minnesota, you know, there's plenty to look at this team and say, oh, they're so close, 2 years in the conference finals, but they are going to have some roster decisions that they have to make. They have guys that are impending free agents. They have guys that they may need to expend. They've got Julius Randle, which I'm not sure they're 100% wanting him to return. He's got a player option. We'll see. So there's far from, I mean, there's never a guarantee, but I think there's far from a guarantee that Minnesota's back here next year.
All right, and just going final, breaking news, I guess you want to call it. But we do have our Stanley Cup Finals. The Edmonton Oilers will advance. They win the West by knocking off the Dallas Stars. 6-3 your final there. Looking at the box score, Connor McDavid, Evander Kane with two goals each. Looks like everybody chipped in. Stuart Scott's 14 saves, so all-around impressive performance for the Edmonton Oilers. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit later. But we are going to officially get a Stanley Cup Finals rematch, the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers' second straight year. Let's stay in the NBA here, Bart. The Cavs were one of the teams that were expected to contend in the Eastern Conference. They got knocked out early by virtue of the Indiana Pacers.
You say Stuart Scott?
Stuart Skinner. I'm sorry. I don't know why. It's just some brain fart. I don't know why I was thinking about Stuart Scott. Stuart Skinner. Cavs president Colby Altman, as I try to pick up the pieces of my life, says that they have a strong core.
I love our foundation. I love our core. Our starting lineup is, the average age is 26.8. You know, we have 2 all-stars that are 25 and 23, respectively. And they're going through it. They're going through these experiences. They're going through these battles. And we're sustainable in a lot of ways.
The problem with the Cavs is they can't really do anything to get better. Not that they are desperate to. They won 64 games this year. But they did get punked by Indiana, even in those games where they were at full strength. Because of the CBA and the second apron, and I know it's like, I mean, it's nails on the chalkboard in my head when I talk about it. But there's not a lot of moves that they can make. Plus, Evan Mobley going all defense and top defender in the NBA, that means his contract is jacked up. Because of you get once you get these parameters, if you're all NBA or if you get a defensive player of the year, if there's certain things that you earn, you're able to qualify for more money. There's a couple of different cases of that that I did want to mention, by the way. Mobley gets a bump in his contract extension. So instead of making $224 over 5 years, Cade Cunningham's another because he was all NBA, Mobley too. Instead of 5 for $224, they're getting 5 for $269. Jaren Jackson Jr. in Memphis did not get an All-NBA selection, so he's going to miss out on the Supermax. Trae Young did not get All-NBA, so he's now not eligible for the Supermax. Jalen Williams of the Thunder would be, but he's not extension eligible yet, so he needs to do it next year again to then get that longer contract, which teams will say, oh, we're happy, you know, to have a guy this good, but then they're also, they got to, you know, rework their finances. So just some interesting footnotes with the All-NBA teams named earlier this week.
All right, let's switch gears to everybody's favorite drug, and I'm not talking about the pink stuff that was reportedly in Stephon Diggs' social media video.
Oh, I tried some of that last night.
You did not have any of Ducey.
Oh, I had, I mean, to better talk about the story, I had to figure it out. I had to try some.
You want to explain what it is?
I'll explain to you that I woke up an hour and a half ago.
I can't wait to hear that in hour five to open up the show there.
I should clarify for any legal reasons that I did not do any drugs in the last 74 hours.
Yeah, and I may or may not have said what it actually was in the last 30 seconds if you listened. Whoever's listening on the podcast, shout out to you. Here's Will Levis, future journeyman backup quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. He is in a quote-unquote battle for the starter's job in Tennessee. Yeah, right. He has high praise for the guy who will be the starting quarterback and make sure he doesn't have a job, Cam Ward.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, I'm here for him however I can be, and you know, he's a really smart kid, and we've been able to talk a lot about, you know, the different installs that we've gone through and hearing his perspective and how he sees things. And he's, you know, a heck of an athlete, heck of a quarterback too. So it's been fun going out there and playing with him.
Well, he's not going to trash him because also Will Levis's best chance at probably starting games in the immediate future is if Cam Ward gets injured, and then he has to get in and be the quarterback for this team. So he wants to be a valued member of this team. I'm sure back of his head he's rooting for him to lose and be bad, but he also knows that they're not going to pull the experiment on Cam Ward anytime soon. So again, the best course of action is to play nice, ride this out, and hope to be a Geno Smith or Sam Darnold story somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, he'll have a long career. He just won't have a productive one. Here is Chip Kelly, new Raiders offensive coordinator. Remember, about a week or two ago, I started telling you about the story of how Chip Kelly and the brain trust there, they want Ashton Jensen to change his pre-snap stance. Basically, he looks like Michael Myers, kind of hulked over. Well, it's worked for him. He was a runner-up for the Heisman, but they're still a little going back and forth there, trying to tinker out ways to make him better. Here's Chip Kelly on his new star running back.
Ashton is as talented a back as, you know, as a young guy coming in the league that I've seen. You know, he's really special. His ability to sustain runs after contact, you know, his contact balance is kind of a really rare quality. He's got a low center of gravity. You know, and I think he's it's tough to get him down.
How about we let him play and see how it works before we start tinkering with a guy who was in the Heisman conversation? And it doesn't seem like, you know, some quarterbacks have come into the NFL and their motion's been interesting and you have to kind of fix it. This guy just stands upright. It's not like he start with his back facing the line of scrimmage. This is one of those things where, unless I'm just, which I'm willing to be, naive to it. I don't I'm not really following this one.
It's just Chip Kelly trying to be the smartest guy in the room. That's why he got ran out of Philadelphia. And I don't know. Remind me how his last couple of trips and stops have gone. Let's go to the Nye Jets. They've been searching for a quarterback since Super Bowl III. Well, Justin Fields, he says he could be that guy.
I think I can be great, you know, and that's, you know, been the goal for me my whole life, my whole career. So, like I said, you know, I think the sky's the limit, you know, for this team, for this offense, but we do have a long way to go.
Well, Justin Fields is a guy who could be facing some pressure to succeed, although it's a kind of a, it's a 2-year deal, kind of a 1-year deal. I'm sure he's putting a lot of pressure on himself. I don't think the fate of the Jets organization rests on the shoulders of Justin Fields, but there are a lot of quarterbacks that are facing pressure in 2025 to get the job done, whether that's in the playoffs or the regular season, wherever that may be. We are going to, despite my fears of AI, we are going to the Bartometer tonight to figure out which quarterbacks have the most pressure on them entering 2025. We'll give you an update on the games, again, that have gone final and what it means for the teams next. All of that coming up straight ahead. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.